Good day to you. Here are my three things in Isaiah chapter 41. Chapter 41 is really presents to us a courtroom scene, a trial that is happening. And the point of this trial is to prove that the Lord is the Lord of history. And so number one, as the Lord of history, the Lord challenges the pagan nations. In the first seven verses of this chapter, there's a question at the beginning of the trial. Who has stirred up him from the east? Victory meets him where he puts his feet. Who hands nations over to him? Who makes him rule over kings? Who makes them like dust through his sword and like wind-driven chaff with his bow? Do the people not see that the one who allows this to happen, all the stuff that's happened with Assyria and Sennacherib, he's also predicted it is greater, that this God is greater than their dumb idols who are so helpless that Isaiah says they have to be fastened with nails so they don't tip over. The Assyrian king, Sennacherib, and others before him who caused so much mighty destruction and at the same time conquered Israel and other countries would not have been able to carry out that deed if the Lord had not given the peoples into his possession. Think back to chapter 10, verse 6, I will command him to take the plunder, to seize the spoils, and to tread them down like mud in the streets. So God was in control. God is the God who challenges the pagan nations, and he says, no, I'm the one in control. Trust, look to me. I'm the one who did that. As the Lord of history, the Lord had prophesied many times through Isaiah about the terrifying advance of the king of Assyria, and so he challenges the Lord, the nations. He is the Lord of history. He is behind their pursuits. And yet, number two, we also see that as the Lord of history, the Lord is Israel's strength and help in every need. When you look beginning at verses 8 to 20, it's really this section. The Lord's true servants don't need to worry about and fear Sennacherib, the Assyrians, like the pagan nations of those around them. He summarizing verses 9 and 10, whom I have snatched, verse 8 actually, but you, O Israel, my servant, O Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, whom I love, whom I have snatched from the ends of the earth, whom I have called from its corners. I have said to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not rejected you. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be overwhelmed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. And so Israel should trust in the Lord and his promises of mercy. In their fear of the mighty opponent, they should not seek idols like the pagans. Verse 13, I am the Lord your God. I am the one who is holding on to your right hand. I am the one who says you do not fear. I myself am helping you. The Lord does not want his people to continue in defiant disobedience and like the unbelievers around them follow their own thoughts instead of the words of the Lord. And so with his acts of grace, he wants to kindle faith in their hearts. And so here we have the Lord pointing out that salvation is the work of the Lord from start to finish. And the Lord's goodness and mercy are not giving sparingly. And at the end, at verse 20, he talks about, at the end of this little section, no one needs to thirst. And then finally, number three, the Lord proves that he is the Lord of history through his prophecies. All those prophecies came to be. The Lord is the one who knows what will happen and who has prophesied that which has now happened. The Assyrian invasion with its desolation, the Assyrian king would not be able to take Jerusalem. God said that. He has proven himself that he is the Lord of history. So on this trial, the Lord proves to us, to them, he is the Lord of history. He is in control, and he carries out his grace and mercy to his people to save them. What comfort that is for us as we live in our world to know that God is the Lord of all history. May God be with you today.